Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Good morning. I'm Reverend Dr. Shelley Best, and I want to welcome you to a special edition of Rich Answers. In an effort to follow public health guidelines, we are producing this program from our homes. The sound quality may be a bit different, but it is our hope you will find the music and meditation at the end to be a blessing to your soul.
Thank you.
Work it, 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 work it Mama is good.
between Harry and Noel. Time has no consequence at all, yeah. The sky opens to my prayers. I wanna go to beautiful,
beautiful, beautiful.
I wanna go to beautiful.
Listening to a special edition of Rich Answers, recorded remotely during this time of the coronavirus. It is our prayer you remain encouraged and healthy in the midst of those you love. Let us bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Lord, as the days and weeks go by, we find ourselves in different levels of intimacy with friends, family, co-workers, and neighbors. After all, we are each going through adjustments with all the conflicts and controversies in our world. In the midst of the things that could divide us, you are calling us to draw closer to each other. But some of us have lived lives where we have accepted distance as a norm. Lord, help us to be more authentic with those we sojourn with. Give us courage to take the time to truly know those in our midst, and give us the courage to open up and be fully known. Lord, since our days are not promised, give us opportunities for truth and love. Now let the words of this mouth and the meditations of this heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16, and I'll be reading from the New International Version of the scripture.
So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Amen. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. With this in mind, the title of the message is simply this: Finding True Love in Hard Conversations. Finding True Love in Hard Conversations. When I was in elementary school, I lived in Norfolk, Connecticut. And when I reached middle school, my mother moved us to the big city of Torrington. Torrington, like Norfolk, didn't have much diversity in town, so showing up Black in Torrington was still a struggle, much like my times in Norfolk. By the time I reached high school, I was well equipped with the survival skills of living as an other. I had learned how to be in the midst with a certain personal distance to guard my heart. I had learned how to suck it up when teachers or other students said disparaging things about my race or made comments to me that were overtly racist. After all, living as an other child taught me the benefit of survival one day at a time, especially when you lack the agency to leave the situation. Early on, I found direct confrontations and fights in hostile territory wearing to the soul. As an outsider, I made the decision to go to our local trade school, Oliver Wolcott Regional Vocational Technical School, instead of the popularity cult of Torrington High School. What I didn't realize was the unspoken idea that the slow kids, the poor kids, the non-college material kids went to the regional trade school, and the regular smart kids went to the high school. Trade school was full of the others, the learning disabled, the poor, the traumatized, the different. We others filled the hallways. So in that environment, we created our own levels and class system among our ranks. If the truth be told, many of us tech kids had a bit of a chip on our shoulders, but we created our own unique society and specialized cliques, and we made it through. Tech had about 500 students from the 30 Northwest Connecticut towns. When I was there, the ethnic diversity ranks were bursting with me and four other Black kids in the entire school. Once again, I was an other, but my leadership skills paid off and I ended up the head of student council, class officer, and editor of the yearbook. My best friend from freshman year was a fellow named Dan Duffany. He came from a rather affluent family from Bristol, but he was considered an other because he was adopted and nerdy, and a lot of people just didn't like him. He was often teased by the alpha males that were part of the automobile shop and machine shop, and they called him names about their ideas of his sexual identity. Since he was my friend and I had acquired a bit of moxie for all my years of being an other, I would defend his honor and tell the other kids to leave him alone. After all, the accusation of being gay in the 70s was not an easy thing to live with. Dan was my best friend, and we stuck together. The summer after high school graduation, he gave me a call and said he needed to talk to me about something really important. When we got together, he told me how much he appreciated having me as a friend, and he hoped we would remain friends after he told me what was on his mind. Dan then told me he was gay. I was shocked. I wasn't ready. Prior to this, I didn't really think I knew any gay people, except my cousin George, a very artistic choir director in Harlem, who wore a James Brown press and curl and purple velvet capes. But no one in my family talked about it. Now, granted, I wasn't currently attending church, but based on my Catholic upbringing, I had this impression that my friend was sin, and my interpretation of the church's teachings of my childhood meant I needed to walk away from my friend because he was wrong. But then, upon deeper thought, I remembered what a good friend he had been in my life. And I thought about the lesson of God being loved, and I loved my friend. And there was a lot I didn't fully understand, but in that moment, I told my friend, "You are still my friend." We found true love in friendship through hard conversations. Dan loved me enough to tell me his truth, and I loved Dan enough to overcome my ignorance and preconceived notions to love a person who had blessed my life. And we are both better for it today, having remained friends for 42 years. Our text this morning was written by the Apostle Paul during his first Roman imprisonment to the church at Ephesus. This is an important letter because Paul wanted the people of faith in that place to understand what it truly means to be a Christian in faith and practice. His desire was that the followers would grow in maturity and find ways to stay together as a community of faith. Paul speaks of the different roles and positions we may find ourselves in as believers with our purpose to build up the body of Christ, our sacred community. The church at Ephesus had its problems, especially as it relates to people living up to a heavenly calling. But Paul knew that the only way we each can become all we can be in the faith is by staying honest in relationship with one another. In order to have true love in community, Paul urged the believers to take courage and have hard conversations in love. Now, I'm not a biological parent. I have served as a mentor and auntie to a number of young people whom I love. And my life is better because I continue to open myself up to this different generation and I listen. And I leave space to learn and grow through knowing them. Now I can tell you, over the years, I've heard some things that I was not ready for. But in order to stay in relationship, I have learned the importance of hearing their truth and, when needed, reflect back my truth in love. A couple of weeks ago, one of my mentees, a recent graduate, gave me a call and we were talking about a variety of subjects and he just blurted out, "You know, I'm bisexual." I said, "Oh, I always assumed you were gay." And he was surprised I had that impression. And we chatted for a little while later and I asked him, "Was it hard for you to come out to me?" And he said, "Well, I figured you would be all right with it. I just wasn't sure I wanted to tell any of the adults in my life. So you're my first. I told you because I might need your relationship advice." So I let him know that I was honored that he shared this part of his story with me, and I'm thankful that he trusted me with it. I now know our relationship will have greater significance because of true love found in hard conversations. So here we are. In a challenging time in America, some families are struggling because multiple generations and ideologies are under the same roof. Some couples are struggling to get along because they are required to stay together around the clock without escape to work and the gym and community activities. Meanwhile, some coworker connections have even greater meaning as we miss the constant company and survive through emails and Zoom. Relationships with some elders in our life are social distance through FaceTime and have even greater meaning because each call is precious and time is not promised to us. In the midst of our shifting ways to remain connected, there are many hard conversations we need to have so we can move beyond talk and pleasant distance and have more authentic, loving relationships. In days like these, it is like it said in 1 Corinthians 13, we strive to know even as we are fully known. We each are being called to find true love in hard conversations. This is an unexpected mission of our times, but with all the conflicts and misunderstandings, some of us need the courage and fortitude to do the work of weaving our families and communities and the nation back together by speaking the truth in love through hard conversations. So think for a moment about the people in your circle who have ideologies very different from your own. They may have ideas about immigrants, about people who have rounder bodies, about people with black or brown skin, about the justice system and police brutality, about people of different religions, about people at different economic levels, about people of different political parties, of people struggling with addiction. And you've heard the comments. Some of the things they have said relate to your family or you, and they don't even realize it. Some of the things they have said are simply hurtful. But if we are going to be better family, community, or a nation, God needs you to have some hard conversations. God is calling each of us to be open to hard conversations and speaking the truth in love in four ways with hope. Think of the word hope. H, first remember to halt. Remember, a hard conversation should not be a hasty conversation. Stop and pray and let God give you the words to say. The O of hope. Second, you want to be open. Open the conversation with the things you love about the person you are about to talk to. Let them know how much they mean to you, and that is the reason why you're having the conversation with them today. P, provide them with your truth. Give them examples of how the words hurt, and let them know you are saying something because you care about them. A few weeks ago, I had a hard conversation with a friend who was in a season of unavailability. In these days of the pandemic, I had to let her know that it hurt that I would call her and she would not call me back for weeks. I felt she had abandoned me as a friend, and I let her know that our relationship mattered and it takes two people to make it work. She was surprised by my directness and admitted that she could do better. And that's when I did E. I engaged in sacred listening. I listened to what she had to say with a heart filled with love, and then I gracefully exited from the conversation, knowing that some resolutions take time. God is calling us to deeper depths in relationships as we do our best to heal our land. Jesus shows us how to be true people of faith and action. We are each called to live with the hope of healing our community and our world by finding true love in hard conversations through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you. beginning, into the darkness, the Spirit's moving. Upon the waters, you spoke the words, let there be light. Out of the chaos came the promise, the universe rose and applauded when you commanded the newborn sun to rise. You are the day spring, you are the morning star. Creation splendor speaks of who you are. You are salvation, you are the joy of the earth. Restoration comes, hope of the broken world. Into my weakness, into my darkness, your Spirit's moving. Upon my heart and you speak the words, let there be light. Into my chaos comes your promise, the new is rising, the old is passed on, you are reviving and making all things right. You are the day spring, you are the morning star. Creation splendor speaks of who you are. You are salvation, you are the joy of the earth. Restoration comes, hope of the broken world. Arise, shine, the glory of the Lord is risen. Arise, shine, the glory of the Lord is risen. Arise, shine. You are the morning star. Creation splendor speaks of who you are. You are salvation, you are the joy of the earth. Restoration comes, hope of the broken world. Restoration comes, hope of the broken world. Into my darkness, your Spirit's moving. Upon my heart and you speak the words, let there be light.
Yes, Jesus. Come on, you can praise Him. Come on, you can praise Him. Hallelujah. And God, we, your people, are going to be obedient. As you decree, let everything that have breath give you the praise and give you the glory. Yes, God. We're so unworthy, Lord, but we stand in your presence. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. Yeah.
come on, the very air we breathe. He gave it to us, we didn't buy it. Come on, tell me. Come on, lift your hands to him and tell him. It's your presence, Lord, your Holy Spirit that dwells on the inside of us, leading us and guiding us into all truth. Thank you, Lord, for it. We thank you for the gift. And not only that, when we talk about your word, it's my daily bread. It's what I long for. And God, you said, he who hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. This verse just says, your very word. Come on, tell him today. Come on, say spoken. So this is the part that I love to declare. It says this, and now listen to these words. It says, I'm desperate for you. Is there anybody here you just don't want him, but you're desperate for him? You've got to have him. Sing it to him again. And I'm lost without you, Jesus. Lord, I was lost, God, once in the world, but now that you changed me, I've got to have you. Come on, sing this with us again. This is the air I breathe. Come on, I want you to sing it with us. This is the air I breathe. And because you sent your Holy Spirit, Lord, thank you that it is. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, living in me as you are, Jesus. It's living in me, hallelujah. I'm connected to you and you're connected to me. And I tell you today that this is mine. Daily bread.
Yes, it is.
Hallelujah, Jesus. This is my daily bread. Yes, it is. Jesus. Lord, it is the truth of your word that you've given us. Spoken to me, Jesus. Spoken to me. You're desperate for him. I want you to lift your hands and tell him. And
I,
come on, tell him. I'm desperate for
I'm
you,
desperate
Jesus.
For you.
Come on, if you're desperate for him, lift both hands to heaven and open your mouth in here. Tell him together. And I. Your presence. We need to have you there, Lord. Come on, sing it again. And I. Tell
it.
I'm desperate for you.
I'm desperate for you.
I need you, Lord. Every hour I want you, Jesus. Yes, I do. It.
Thank you for listening to this special edition of Rich Answers. In the weeks ahead, we encourage you to reach out to me through Facebook and Instagram. I'm Reverend Dr. Shelley Best, President and CEO of the Conference of Churches. God bless you.